I would like to thank the five speakers on this panel for their in-depth analysis, yet having been so elegant in complying with the time constraints. Anyone who has attended a Weight Watcher meeting has gone through the silly experience of having to applaud the pounds collectively shed that week. Well, I would like to point out that collectively, these speakers only overran for 15 minutes, which makes a spectacular average of 3 minutes each, and I really want to thank them for that. Really, well, to each his or her trauma. It's been a long time since you've heard the first presentation, so I will just briefly enumerate issues that have been brought up. I mean, there's been a discussion of spreading the problematic and spreading museification of trauma. There's been a mention and a discussion of the traumatic turn of history writing, of the gendered experience of memorials, and I would even suggest the gender of a traumatic reading per se, and of trauma identity and different manifestation of racism, not to mention the very specific proposals that Viera Frankl made in order to change things, or any other related issues that you would like to bring up, and I will open the discussion to the floor right away. Nanette.
Hi, I'm Nanette Solomon. First of all, I did want to say that I never did call that picture pornographic. And I found it interesting the way that the word got attached to my talk through a discussion of my talk, and that how that had become a kind of hot point in the talk yesterday. And so I was interested in the way that the audience kind of made the meaning for that for me, which I have to accept. And I was wanted to ask Risa about how the audience reaction, since this whole couple of days we've been talking about audience participation, audiences making meaning, questions coming up from audiences as opposed to being posed by museums. And the kind of very vocal, very obvious, and very present audience reaction to Mirroring Evil was in some way, I don't want to say critiqued by you, maybe that's not the right word, but the way that the various kinds of audiences, including Holocaust survivors, including art critics, including Art Spiegelman, whatever category he may fall into, and you know, including a kind of wide range of people, have made their own question about the validity of that exhibition, and the way that the Jewish Museum, I think, persists and insists on holding its question in relationship to what's happened there. So I thought I would ask you to speak to the kind of more productive ways of acknowledging or validating that audience reaction.
The primary reason why the Jewish Museum delayed the opening of Mirroring Evil for 1 year was because it received an animating democracy grant from the Ford Foundation. And the purpose of that grant was to develop a whole series of public programs in relationship to the exhibition. Right from the beginning of planning the exhibition, in fact, the desire for a space for audience dialogue was of paramount concern. What the Animating Democracy Grant enabled the museum to do was to embark on a major training program of a number of people who hold daily dialogues in the cafeteria with whomever wants to come. So that's certainly a space where other kinds of questions get asked on a daily basis about the exhibition. There are also the usual elements that you find in exhibitions, comment books, where people can handwrite, but there is also two computers in the space at the end of the exhibition where people can actually type in their comments and viewers can access those comments and add to them. So where the museum might want to go with all of this information at this point, forgive me, I'm not privy to, it is something that they are talking about now. And then, as I said, there are these other kinds of dialogues with people like myself that are part of a very well-publicized program, and I know you didn't know about them.
No, I knew about them.
Oh, you did. Oh, sorry.
I did.
I misunderstood you.
But I see those training programs and those dialogues at lunch and the computers at the end of it as a way of managing, not a way of dialoguing. It's audience management rather than, you know, because it absorbs and redirects. But I think that it's very difficult to actually absorb, or let's say, not even for the museum, but just for us here, where we don't really have to, you know, be defensive or, you know, go rush to extremes of, you know, this is a celebratory image or this is a pornographic image. Do you know what I mean? I'd like to find something in the middle where we might actually be able to productively, you know, reshuffle the deck somehow and see how the unmanaged audience reactions give meaning to that exhibition, give meaning to that collection of objects. Do you know what I mean? And possibly not at all in the way of censorship or the way of dissuading people from seeing it, but using it to generate discussion.
I've just been asked to be very brief in my answer to that. I almost wanted to turn the question back to you, in fact, because at this point I'm not sure how one does that, especially in the context, which I tried to portray as, forgive me, somewhat hysterical with regards to the reception of that exhibition. But one thing I will say is that dialogue and discussion occur after an exhibition as well as during the exhibition. And I don't think, picking up on one of Vera's points, that closure is necessarily marked by the termination date of the exhibition itself. I truly believe that this exhibition will be talked about productively in all kinds of ways. And whether those discussions actually take place within the museum, I don't feel that's absolutely necessary.
There's a question over there.
Yeah.
My question was more of an observation, which has been...
Could you identify yourself,
yes,
please?
Asma Arshad Mahmood. My question was more like, we had an exhibition in Toronto at AGO, Canvas of War, which was planned for a long time, and it opened at precisely the time when September 11th event happened. So the entire context of the exhibition changed, because there were two parts of the exhibition, and the contemporary theme was basically about the ravages of war, or how war is not good. So we were faced with another dimension altogether of exhibit within a gallery, which was that it was like an interpretation of history during hysteria kind of situation. So maybe the choice of word might not be accurate, but it was kind of what we were trying to say in the beginning, before September 11th, had to be reconstructed in a way after September 11th through that exhibition. So how do you feel about when something which becomes trauma afterwards, becomes an issue which can create or generate a lot of controversy. How do you feel about that in context with what you said? Vera, I think, or anybody? Risa. Risa Greenberg.
Well, as we all know, we can't control history. And in one sense, I would look at the fact that Canvas of War was and is circulating through Canada at precisely this moment as a potentially useful exhibition, in fact, to focus discussions about war and the meaning of war and how one makes art related to the trauma of war. I don't know if the AGO did resituate Canvas of War openly in relationship to the more recent traumas. One of my deepest regrets, in fact, about Mirroring Evil was that, to me, there was an incredible denial on the part of the museum to openly address the relationship of that exhibition being shown in New York in relationship to what the city was experiencing in terms of trauma at that moment in time. I don't know if anyone else.
No, please, there was first a question down here and then over there.
Thanks very much. I'm Sharon Rosenberg. I want to thank all of the panelists. I think it was a very provocative set of papers. I'm one of the people who works with Roger Simon, and so obviously I'm very interested. And I was wondering if anybody might speak to the possibility of putting some of Rogoff's ideas, which I also enjoyed tremendously, in tension and in relationship to some of the issues you've mentioned here. Because it seems to me that this issue of looking away, which I found very productive, also becomes a contingent issue. Because the kinds of representations you're talking about require a looking. And I'm wondering if there's a relationship between looking away to look at something else in the way that Irut was speaking of, and then actually to look back again. And if this isn't crossed by questions of generation and time, because also the tensions across your papers is interesting. In terms of which events are represented and for what kinds of legacies and so on. I wonder if, so it's not really a specific question, but a pondering, if anybody would want to sort of talk.